Hello there, and welcome to this episode of the Movies in Focus podcast. I'm Niall Brown. The Image of You is the new screen adaptation of Adele Parks' novel of the same name. Directed by Jeff Fisher and adapted by screenwriter Chris Ziverston, the film stars Sasha Peters, Parker Young, Nestor Carbonell, and Mira Sorvino. It's something of an outlier, a modern take on the erotic thriller, one with particular nods to masters of the genre like Brian De Palma and Paul Verhoeven. Director Jeff Fisher joins this episode of the podcast to talk about The Image of You, how he worked on the film's visual style and was inspired by De Palma and Verhoeven, as well as what it's like bringing a best-selling novel to the screen. As always, I hope you enjoy what we have to talk about.
Hiya, Jeff.
Hey, Niall, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing well. Nice to meet you.
A busy day with interviews. Have you been, is this your first or how's it going?
Yeah, it's going okay. It's busy. I'm shooting another movie. So it's right. keep it busy, but excited to be talking about The Image of You.
That must be difficult when your mind's in sort of one mode and then you're thinking back to something you've done previously.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I'm doing another thriller, so it's kind of in the same mode. But I'm excited to talk about Image of You.
I really enjoyed it. It was like a real throwback movie to something from the 90s, which is an era of films that I love. Was that intentional?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. When I read Chris's great script, it just gave me full Basic Instinct and Fatal Attraction and Body Heat vibes. And I loved it. And some film noir throwbacks. I was all in.
Well, that's it. I mean, there's a bit of, when I watched the trailer before I saw the film, it sort of started and it looked like it was just going to be like a romantic comedy. And I kind of thought, well, that's one thing. And then sort of it switches, which is kind of the structure of the film as well. Is that difficult tonal shift? Is that difficult to work?
No, I love that you got it. That little misdirect in the trailer is something we were going for. Joan LaDuca that cut the trailer did such a great job of threading that needle. But yeah, I wanted, you know, our goal was for everybody to be all in on that romance, because I think it makes the twist a little more jarring when they start unwinding.
Yes, I mean, I won't get into too many specifics about the twist, but I as somebody who's watched, you know, a ton of these movies, you kind of suspect where it's going, and the twist wasn't the twist that I'd imagined. So it really did have me sort of thrown until the end.
Awesome. That makes me so happy. Yeah, that's great.
Is that something, obviously, when you're making a film, you obviously have to sort of drop little breadcrumbs to kind of lead the audience in certain directions. How do you ensure that you don't kind of give too much away, but also the audience doesn't feel totally cheated by sort of a total kind of ending that's out of the blue? How do you work on that? And is that something in the script? Do you sort of work on that as a director?
It's a great question. You know, so like, you know, I'm reading the script, you know, just like, you know, somebody's watching the movie. So like, you know, it was a surprise to me as well when I first read. So it's really just trying to keep that along. Watch, you know, there are other movies that again have threaded that needle and really kind of like leaning in and seeing, okay, how did they, you know, how do they do this, and how can we find our version of that? And you know, just in the actors were great, and that made my life easier. So
talk to me about the casting process, because one of the things is you have to cast this very well, because you've got your lead is playing two different people and trying to get across those different personas. What was the casting process for you?
Another great question. Well, I knew I had worked a little on Pretty Little Liars, and I knew Sasha's work, and I knew, you know, she had the chops and kind of the fun, you know, like to play it. I was super lucky. You know, Nestor Carbonell was in like my first short and my first feature, and such a huge fan of him, and was kind of like when I read that part, just hoping he'd play David. Was lucky enough to make a movie with Parker about a decade ago, and have always, you know, been such a fan of his personally and professionally, and kind of knew that he'd, you know, knock it out of the park. And then when Mira kind of read the script and was interested in talking to me about it, I was just thrilled, because I'd just been such a big fan of her work. And and there are a few other actors that I've worked with before, Rebecca Graff and Michelle Norden and Ogie Durham, that I love working with, and was hoping to have them, they'd come do it.
They all really embraced the material, and again, sort of going back to what it reminded me of, there was almost a Brian De Palma sort of quality to it, with the operatic style. Is that another thing that you were aiming for?
Yes, man, I'm so happy you got it. Yes, I love, you know, I was talking about it before, when I was a kid, I had older siblings, and they, I think I was like 12, and like I annoyed them until they took me to see Dress to Kill, and then I didn't sleep for a year. I was like so traumatized by it, but I white knuckled it through that movie as an adult. But yeah, a lot of the way Mr. De Palma kind of, especially the way he used like a split diopter and split screen stuff to give the audience two pieces of information, and moved his camera. And then I was so lucky, like as a kid, to work on Martin Scorsese's Cape Fear, and watching how he and Freddie Francis, the director of photography, kind of moved their camera to create suspense. So they all that stuff was front and center when I was trying to figure out how to tell the story.
Well, that's it. I mean, you did use all that sort of camera work and trickery, which give it a very kind of kinetic energy, even though it could potentially be a very stagey film with a lot of people standing in rooms talking. It did have that visual flourish.
Well, thanks. I'm excited that stuff came through for you, because it's, you know, I love those filmmakers, so it's exciting to hear that some of that landed.
No, I mean, it's great as a fan of those films, which you rarely see people making films like that now. You know, it's good to kind of have that go, and you go, do you know what? That's somebody who's watched De Palma. That's somebody who's, you know, watched Basic Instinct, whatever it might be, and go, yeah, I get that. So I enjoyed that.
So happy. Yeah, it's great. I love those movies. They're such great filmmakers. And, you know, I mean, Paul Verhoeven, Lawrence Kasdan, De Palma, you know, Hitchcock, they're yeah, all amazing filmmakers.
And one of the things the film has, I mean, I'm of the sort of the generation of you this visual effects, and when you've got two people, one person playing two people, you can always kind of, you're always looking, thinking, right, where is the split, or where are they standing? And it was pretty flawless in this. Talk me through the working with that technology, and how do you do that in the 21st century?
It's a great question. And I really had to educate myself, you know, the progression from, you know, that I think probably my, you know, like first, like big memory was more like Haley Mills doing the Parent Trap, no less, you know, Lindsay Lohan. So trying to, you know, it feels like one of the big changes in that was David Cronenberg's Dead Ringers, when he did it with Jeremy Irons. And then, you know, something like Us, where there's so many crosses and there's so much motion control. And then it's like, how do you navigate the budget? Some of those movies have larger budgets. Like, how precise can we can we be when can we use that so it's most effective to kind of sell it? And then obviously, you know, Sasha, you know, changing the way that Anna and Zoe moved and dressed and behaved helped it sell it in a huge way. And we had Sasha had a double named Malia. Sasha and Malia were on set, so we'd always be matching and looking at the monitor, and it was a great team effort.
Is that difficult when you're obviously trying to make a day and kind of get performances, and then you're switching around? And is that frustrating, or is it something that you relish as a director?
I mean, it was exciting to see it work. It was a time thing, right? We shot the movie in 20 days, and with the twins, like a 6-page scene feels like a 12-page scene, right? Because you're shooting one side, and then you've got to go back, and you know, Sasha would go through the works, go through hair and makeup, and then we shoot the other side. But you know, like I was the very lucky recipient of a super talented actress, of, you know, wonderful like hair, makeup, and wardrobe and camera department, so we could make it work. But making your day is like, okay, I gotta, you gotta book and make sure you're being as efficient as possible.
Always keeping your eye on your watch, thinking what time is it, and what else do I have to get?
If I spent 15 minutes too long on this scene, where am I going to make those 15 minutes up for sure?
Yeah. Well, and presumably it's not the kind of script where you can just sort of write off a couple of scenes, because everything's kind of interwoven for that ultimate payoff at the end.
Absolutely, yeah. Adele's story, you know, is kind of an intricately plotted. I want to make sure House of Cards sounds respectful enough, you know. But it's if you pull one thread of the plot, then it's like a sweater, right? If I pull a thread too much, I don't want the sleeve to fall off, right? So you have to make sure you're not losing anything valuable.
That's it, and that must be difficult, and again, when it's based on a book, I spoke with Adele kind of about the process of how the film came to be. But for a director, did you go back and read her book once you signed on?
I did. I read the script first, and then I read Adele's book. And it was, you know, it's super interesting, because like Adele writes, you're omniscient, right? You're in the head of each of the characters. You know, and then certainly the third act of the movie and the end of the book are very different. So but Adele's book was a terrific tool, right, to really find out like extra subtext about the characters and what their motivations were and what they were thinking, and then kind of marry that to the more cinematic stuff that you were talking about. Okay, well, what's the visual way? This is what the intention was. So is there a visual way to kind of sell this through?
And was there anything in the book, once you've read it, that wasn't in the script that you then thought, oh, we've got to put that in? Or was it sort of just perfect for it being a cinematic interpretation?
I can take none of the credit for that. I think Chris Syverson, the screenwriter, did, in my opinion, just a sensational job of taking the book and making it a really exciting screen story, you know. So I'm very grateful to that guy. He's a super talented and not to mention very nice dude. So yeah.
And at what point did you come on? Because I, when I was speaking with Adele, she said that the film was sort of, it began to be developed before COVID, and then it sort of slowed down through things. At what point did you step into it? And
yeah, so we shot it last May a year ago. And I think I came onto it the January before that. It might have been like the December or January. So that would have been, it's 2024 now, right? Yeah, so early 2023. Yeah.
And once you're on board, so you the script comes to you. I'm always interested in how people sort of develop these things. So the script comes to you. You think, right, that's great. What is your pre-production on that? Is it of just finding the actors' locations? Because obviously that's a good sort of 3-4 month stretch. Talk me through your pre-production for the for a film like this.
Sure. The first thing I did on this was actually I went and started pulling visual references and clips, right? Like we talked about, okay, well, like how do you meet Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct, right? Like what's the like cinematic language that we that you that you meet them with? Okay, if we're trying to go for something with a De Palma mode, like what how did he use that? How did he use to a split screen or a split diopter to kind of like unwind multiple pieces of information in the same frame? Like how did how do you use how did they use score to kind of help tell that story. So, because I wanted to have more of a touchstone of an understanding of what we were hoping the movie would look and feel like, so I could get the visual language. And then with with actors that I had already had pre-existing relationships with, it was like sending them the script and being like, it's like it was such a like, to get to work with Nestor and Parker again and some of the other actors, just I was like, oh, I'd die, I know you would knock this out of the park. I would love to work with you. And then hoping that, everything lines up. And then finding Sasha. Sasha and I was lucky enough to talk to Sasha pretty early in the process, and I knew her work. I was a huge fan I thought Pretty Little Liars was such a smart show and a show that did tons of like leaning into Hitchcock references, like, and just great actors and storytelling. So I was really excited and super fun. Like I think that that show was super fun, and I knew Sasha would bring a lot of fun to that part. So then it's then you have to like get into all the business things of Hollywood that makes it like, can we actually make this happen? And just like keep everything crossed that it all that it all works out. And knock on wood, it did. So yeah.
Well, that's it. You've gone through the well, maybe the selling is the hard part. Is that something that you're kind of happy with or enjoy doing, or
That
that the sort of junkets, sort of having people like me sort of probe you with questions?
I mean, I'm excited. Yeah, it's a pleasure. I mean, I'm excited. I love the movie. I hope people, I hope people really like it. We all put a lot of love into it. We were all like, the actors worked so hard, and as did our camera crew and our hair, makeup, wardrobe, locations, our line producer, everybody just we tried to do everything we could to make it as inviting as possible. So it's fun to, a fun
No,
time.
and it's a fun, like I said, it's a fun throwback movie, which kind of brings, kind of it's a good time of year, when things are getting lighter, and you sort of the perfect sort of movie for that experience, kind of almost like a summer movie.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I hope so. I really, I'm excited. I hope people like it. I really do. That's the goal. We want, just at the end of the day, we want people to be entertained. Just like strap in. It's a fun ride with watching a bunch of talented and I think, I mean, in my opinion, gorgeous looking actors. So I was like that, it's like I see people that look like me when I go to the supermarket. I'd rather look at them, on the big screen.
I know what you mean. That's the great thing about cinema, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you said you're currently in the middle of directing another film, but what is it you're working on at the minute?
I would love to tell you. They kind of asked me to pipe down until they announced it, but it's another thriller. It's another thriller. I guess I could say it's another one of Adele's books. So
right.
I can't say which one, but we're back in action.
Well, it must have been a great experience for you the first time around if you've come back so soon to another one.
Yeah, I'm grateful that I was able to roll into another one. It's can definitely consider myself lucky for the opportunity.
Well, I won't keep you for any longer, and I'll let you get back to work and sort of crack the whip on set. But Jeff, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, really nice to meet you, Niall. Thank you so much, and thanks so much for the kind words about the movie. It means a lot.
No, my pleasure, and maybe we'll talk again this time next year about the next one.
That'd be great. Make it happen.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Movies in Focus podcast. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts, and I hope that you tell your friends about it. That's it for this time, and I'll see you at the movies.